Welcome to this episode of Once Upon a Time, From Storybook to Estrangement, hosted by Lynn. I have lived as an estranged parent. I will always love my adult son and my adult daughter. And I thank them for getting me to this transformative place in my life. So join me now for my own Once Upon a Time, my story of estrangement. This is Lynn from Once Upon a Time, From Storybook to Estrangement. By way of career, I am a professor, author, and entrepreneur. By way of a lived experience, I identify as an estranged parent. Let me start by saying my lived experience as an estranged parent is, without a doubt, the single most difficult experience in my lifetime. My healing journey continues, and this podcast is one step in that journey. Hello, everybody. I am with another special guest. Today on Heart to Heart, I have Randy Flood, co-founder of the Men's Resource Center of West Michigan. Mr. Flood is also a parental alienation expert. And if you've been following my podcast, you know that I always have our guests introduce themselves. So at this time, Randy, would you introduce yourself to our audience?
Well, thanks for having me on, Lynn. We've had some conversations to preface this, and it's been exciting to anticipate this conversation today. So the director of the Men's Resource Center, I co-founded that with my co-author, Charlie Donaldson, with whom I've written a couple books that we might talk about later on. But that was in 2000, and I had a center in Grand Rapids, Michigan, that I directed, and he worked the center in Holland, Michigan. Since that time, Charlie has retired. And the Holland office is no longer there, but I continue to operate the Grand Rapids office, where we offer specialized consultation, counseling, and coaching for males, young men, older men. And we see men as a special population, just like you see Latinos or women's issues or African-American issues, gay and lesbian issues. We see men having a particular experience growing up in culture and society with what we call male socialization that trains them to have unique mental health struggles, unique behavioral struggles, relationship struggles, problems with emotional intelligence, perhaps. And we want to offer men specialized mental health services, counseling groups, and coaching services to meet their particular needs. And we've been doing that since 2000. We got staff, we've expanded, we're doing online counseling and coaching now, and the pandemic really accelerated that, and working with people all over the country and some people outside the country, Australia, Great Britain, and such.
Randy, that was a great introduction. But I want to go back to the men in your Men's Resource Center. Who comes to the Resource Center?
Well, and that gives me the best testimonials for this world in which men can develop their full humanity and still hang on to their masculinity rather than, you know, working on developing the pinnacle of their masculinity while suppressing half their humanity. Is that these men, they're everyday guys, you know. We work with from surgeons to plumbers to factory workers to judges to attorneys to accountants, engineers to business owners to farmers. I mean, I'm just listing all of these different people that have come through our doors, and you know, and these guys come in with some of them very, very high performance of masculinity, like former athletes, you know, leaders of of businesses driving their, you know, F-150s or driving their BMWs and performing at a high level as a CEO or whatever. And they're come in with their typically not necessarily always the case, but they don't come in with career problems because they're socialized to perform in that arena, but they come in with family problems, relationship problems, or maybe it's an adjustment to divorce, or there might be a domestic violence incident, or there may be a pornography addiction or something like that. And then once they come in, we work with them on helping them address the problem, but getting at the core of it, which is their definition of masculinity, the way in which they live their lives, and the fact that they don't have emotional intelligence and relationship skills developed. And when we work with them on healing some of the way in which they were suppressed and bullied or shamed, or the way in which they neglected themselves by trying to be the ultimate alpha male, then they end up developing greater parts of their humanity, and they don't lose their masculinity. That's the thing. We get criticized like, you're trying to turn these guys into little ladies. Mm-hmm. Or you're trying to put skirts at them. No, they still drive away with their trucks. Now they don't trade it in for a Prius. They still perform in softball teams and trial as trial attorneys, but they are able to go home and switch the dial on their human engineering and say, now I'm home. I don't need to scream and shout to win a trial. I'm talking to my son. I'm talking to my wife, and I need to have relationship skills. I need to know how to empathize. I need to know how to pause and check in with my own feelings and what's going on with me, so I'm not acting them out or shouting them to make them go away. And then they make those adjustments. They are able to have a more satisfying life and a more enriching life. And so that's the biggest proof I have of this work, is watching hundreds of men that I've worked with come out of our center, you know, testifying to the work and how satisfying their lives are now.
Wow. And isn't that the goal, to have a more satisfying and enriching life? So I'm going to ask you about, when they walk through the door of the men's center, do they come in and they say, oh, I realize that I just want to be a better person, I want to grow, or is it a major event that brings them to you, a major life event?
Usually it's the latter. A lot of people would say you have a poor business model to develop a center where your customers are people who are the least likely to seek mental health services, because, you know, it's like men don't ask for directions, let alone ask for help to solve life problems. And, you know, they'll get help on their golf swing, help with their portfolio. But there's something about appearing weak, or the stigma of mental health at large, that makes men steer away from that. Now we're seeing that a little different in the younger generation, you know, the millennials and such are more able and more willing to come in and access counseling. But some of the guys that, you know, that are in the 50s and 60s and 70s, they typically have more of an event, an existential crisis that prompts them, a wife referral, we call it, or a court referral, or a divorce, getting caught using pornography at work, and their work's being compromised. There's an event that says, okay, reluctantly they come in, and then it's our job to engage them. That's our job, is to help them become more interested, more curious about this work of exploring their inner life, exploring their identity, exploring this notion of emotional intelligence. And we're successful a lot of the times, and sometimes we're not, because men will resist that and hear that as we're trying to emasculate them, or something, or they're just not invested because they're not accountable. They want to talk about everybody else but themselves. They want to talk about their wife and their boss, and they come in with a victim mentality. And when we try to shift them into personal accountability, they resist it and they think we don't care about them or we don't understand them. And there's attrition that way.
The conversation continues with Randy Flood, parental alienation expert, on our next episode. Once upon a time, from storybook to estrangement, are my own stories of my lived experience. This is not intended for counseling, therapy, medical care, or crisis care. Thank you for joining us. Until next time. Each estrangement journey begins with honesty, hope, and healing. Please join us again on the next episode of Once Upon a Time, From Storybook to Estrangement.